Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Brother Dale, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we do indeed today thank you for your word. And the men who proclaim it, us here today, and those around the world, in your services, Father. We pray that we would hear of you or from you today and learn.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to not enter this time of study lightly. Lord, I pray that we would each find something true that is proclaimed here today and use to guide us this week and every day of our lives. We pray for your will to be done in the service and ask these things in Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Imagine, if you will, that you had no right, no opportunity to go before God with anything. I mean, think about it. You had no right and no opportunity to appear before the presence of Almighty God. You see, in the Old Testament, there was, in the tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. That was where God Himself dwelt between the cherubs and the mercy seat. And no one was allowed. No one was allowed to enter that place, the Holy of Holies, except the high priest. The high priest was only allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies once per year. And on that day, it was a big deal. The high priest would wash himself and put on his ceremonial robes. He would kill a calf and a goat and apply that blood to the mercy seat. And the whole idea of that was to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Once a year. Every year. Over and over and over. But the high priest was the only one that could do it. And as he made atonement, I want you to understand what that word, you know, atonement is a religious word, right? It's a churchy word. But you know what it means? It means to cover. Literally means to cover. And it means to reconcile a relationship that has been broken. So we could say the word atonement, if you'll remember this part, you'll get what the word means. Atonement means at-one-ment. At-one-ment with God. That's the idea of this annual sacrifice and going into the Holy of Holies. No one dared to do that because going before this holy God in that sinful condition, they would have immediately died. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 tells us, though. But Christ came as high priest for the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You see, I wanted you to imagine, what if you had no right to address or approach God? It would be pretty sad. Going through trouble? Too bad. You need help in an issue in life? Do the best you can. But praise God, because of Jesus Christ, you have the right, you as an individual have the right to go into the holies of holies and approach God Himself. The idea is at one moment with God, you having that personal relationship with God. That's why we're told, point number one, let us draw near there in verse 19. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's seize the opportunity. To be quite honest with you, I think oftentimes we take the opportunity for granted. Does God hear your prayers? Absolutely. Are you a child of God? Well, if you called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, yes, you are. But how many times have you knelt down or called upon the Lord when in trouble or in need and not realized what it is that got you to where you are today in your relationship with God? Oh, it wasn't cheap. It wasn't even free. It cost the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. I love where it talks about having the heart sprinkled. You see, when the priest would go into that Holy of Holies, he would take that blood and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. That's what Jesus has done for you. Do you deserve the opportunity to go before a holy God? Absolutely not. Ah, but the blood of Jesus, when applied to that heart, gives you the right to go before God the Father Himself. Don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, "We're the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied." That's who we are. That's who we are. Listen. Get this, church. Everybody here. You will not approach God apart from Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what the first thing I want you to get in this message. You will not approach God apart from Jesus Christ. From having that blood. Do you realize if you are a child of God, you are the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, God living on the inside. Here's the picture. Jesus has applied that blood to your hearts. Isn't that beautiful? He's taken your old sinful, depraved heart and applied the literal blood of God to Jesus that cleansed you from all unrighteousness. So as you enter into the Holy of Holies to go before Almighty God, God doesn't see you as some old sinful nobody that's no good. He sees you as His child. You know, have you ever went somewhere knowing that you didn't belong there, but they let you in because of who you were with? That's kind of the picture I get here. As Jesus puts His arms around you and says, "Come on, go with me. We're going to bring it to the Father." Glory to God that we don't go through this life alone. Glory to God that we don't have to endure the sufferings, the trials, and the tribulations of this life alone. Glory to God that when I can't do anything, I know the God that can do everything through the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you His child? See, there are a lot of people that want that kind of use God as an Amazon order. You know what I'm talking about? I like ordering Amazon. I don't have to go to the store. You know? Just get on the phone, tap, oh, they've got it. Buy, and they will bring it to my door. Whatever I want. See, that's kind of some people's view of God. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. I have a health need. Will you please send down some healing? Oh, Lord, my family's in trouble. My kids are out of control. Will you please send down some obedience to my children? All the while, they've never committed their life to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. You may think you're doing okay, but your prayers aren't breaking the ceiling. Why? Because you haven't gone through the Son. Let us draw near. Let us take advantage of the opportunity that God has given through His Son, Jesus Christ. And enter into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God Himself. God Himself, do you realize the opportunity that's set before you today? Let's go on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. You see, a very important message and encouragement to the church, considering that we're living in a world whose values and standards are continually changing. Let us hold fast. It's hard today to get people to stick with things. I mean, it gets difficult. Let's quit. I become discouraged. I didn't sign up for this. I quit. Because of who we are through the blood of Jesus Christ, let us hold fast our confession. What is our confession? Our confession is Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ. Do you know? You know, here's the thing. Understand that everything that Jesus has ever promised, He's done or will do. Right? Understand, God is faithful in every aspect. And the reason that that we're told here in Hebrews, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that we profess, that we say we believe. Let me tell you something. Do you really believe that you have a home in heaven? Do you? Do you really believe it? Do you live like it? Amen. I heard a good yes back there. I like that. Now, do you really believe? You see, let us hold fast to the promises of Jesus Christ. As a church, Jesus has made some specific promises to us, right? Now let me explain to you. First of all, He has not promised that life will always be good. He's not promised that you won't have hard times and you won't suffer and have to endure some hardship. That's not what He's promised. But I want to tell you what, He's promised some really good stuff. First of all, He's promised John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. We know this. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus told His disciples. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for who? For you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What are we doing? We're talking about holding fast to the promises that Jesus has made. If you are a child of God, Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for you. That's what you... See, you need to hold on to that. Why? Because old Satan's going to beat you up on this earth. He's going to give you trouble. He's going to get in your way and do everything he can do to discourage you and get you out of the work of the Lord. Everything he can do. So what is your job? My job is to hold on to the promise. Is it tough? Yes, it's tough right now. But hey, Jesus said he's prepared a place for me. You see, you've got to keep your eye on the finish line. Because sometimes this life really stinks. Do you know that? Come on, give me an amen. Sometimes this life stinks. That's just life. And there's sometimes that I don't want to go on. There's sometimes I don't want to serve. There's sometimes I don't want to come to church. But you know what I got to do? I've got to keep my eyes on the promises of God. Instead of worrying about the problem, I must focus on the promise. Is life hard? It'd be okay. We know how it turns out. Jesus prepared a place for us. You know what else? That's one promise. You know what another promise is? Jesus is coming back to get us. Yeah? Jesus is coming back to get those who place their faith and their trust in Him. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's good stuff. I truly believe Paul didn't write this. You know, we have heard this so much we've become callous to it. But I want you to consider, how do you think Paul wrote those verses in 1 Thessalonians? He did not write them like this. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And maybe one of these days the trumpet of God will blow. He didn't. That's not the way He wrote it. That's not the way we live it either. We live it for the Lord Himself. The Lord, look at that. Isn't that cool? Just that one word. Himself. For the Lord Himself. That means Jesus is going to do it. You don't have to rely on me. I don't have to rely on you. We don't have to rely on one another. This is the promise of Jesus. He's coming back Himself. And that trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Can you imagine? I mean, if you're a child of God, this is a win-win. What if I die before Jesus comes back? You're going to beat me up there. Unless I die too before Jesus comes back. And then we'll go together, right? Oh, but it's going to be bang, bang. Jesus promises, I'm coming, and I'm coming to get you. And when I come, there'll be a trumpet, there'll be a voice of an archangel, and you're leaving this old earth to meet Jesus in the air. See, I love that stuff. That's why we're told, let us hold fast the promises. Keep our eye on the mark. Because Jesus has never ever failed. Okay? Let's do those two things. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast to the confession or profession of our hope. Then verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up good works. Who's he talking about there? Let us consider one another. He's talking about the church. He's talking about you and me. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. That word stir up, it's real interesting in the Greek. It's a strong word. I think the New American Standard, and I'm going back on some of my research and I'm having to remember, so I think the New American Standard translates that as provoke. Do you know what it means to provoke? To provoke means to push somebody and make them do something. And we usually use that in a negative way. Like when... we're keeping our grandkids this week. Great time. This past week. And one of the favorite phrases of the older child is, she started it. She started it. I remember my children doing that. Don't you? You know what she said? She provoked me. Did I take that away from her? Yes, but I was provoked. Yeah. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying here. He's saying, provoke one another to love. How do you provoke somebody to love? You push them in a corner and don't give them a choice, right? You can't make somebody love you. I figured that out, right? But what he's saying here is do whatever you can do to love them first. You see, and get this, love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's affection. And it'll fade really fast when they do something you don't agree with. Right? If you've had friends and you got mad at them and you turned your back on them, don't love them, and you say, I don't love them anymore, you never did. You were fond of them for a while, they disappointed you and you got out. Right? That's affection. Love. Love is doing the hard stuff. Think about that. That applies in families. That applies in churches. That applies in society. Love is when you go the extra mile. Loving them first. And putting them before you. Even when it's not appreciated. Have you ever loved somebody and they didn't appreciate it? You ever had kids? Absolutely. They're good at it. Right? Paul says, make people love you as best you can. Make people love you. Provoke them. Make sure your actions are provoking a loving response from other people. Will it always work? No. But your conscience is clean because you have lived up to the standard of God's Word. Right? Then he goes on. Not forsaking. I like that part. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as you see today approaching. You see, we preach that part in church as you should never, ever, 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 never, never, never miss. Right? Sounds good to me. How about it? We'll just close right there and finish up and go. That's not what this says. That word assembling, which says forsake not the assembling, that word assembling is not a verb. It is a noun. Better translation would be, don't forsake the assembly. Who is the assembly? The church. Alright? That's what the word means. It means to assemble. That don't forsake. That word forsake means to leave or abandon or reject. What he's saying, do not abandon the church. There are a lot of people who say, yeah, I want to be saved. I want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I don't want to have anything to do with the church. You're messed up. I love you. And I say that in love, but you're messed up. Because Christ has chosen His bride to be the church. And if you can't love the church, you can't love Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, I'll be up front and honest with you. If you don't love my bride, you don't love me. Well, yes, I do, brother. No, you may like me, but you don't love me. Because where I go, she goes. Where she goes, I go. Because she's the love of my life. Apart from Jesus Christ Himself. Alright? Same thing with church. And when He says, don't forsake the assembly, He's saying, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you don't have to come to church, alright? I'm saying it's deeper than that. Forsake or abandoning the church, you can do that in several ways, and it doesn't just mean don't show, you know, and not showing up. Let me ask you a question. Are you using your talents, your God-given abilities in the church? Well, Brother Doug, I'm not. Well, you're forsaking the assembly then. I'm not talking about, you know, people get tired from time to time and we take breaks and all. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are you using the church to exercise your God-given gifts? No. Then you are forsaking the church. Kind of strong, isn't it? I ask you another question. Are you tithing? You're getting kind of nosy now, preacher. Yes, Billy May. Are you tithing? Does the Bible teach tithing? Yes, it starts. They start tithing in Genesis, and they don't quit till Jesus comes back, right? Are you tithing? No, Brother Doug, I don't tithe. Well, you're forsaking the assembly because you're not fulfilling your role. Brother Doug, that's just strong. It's just the truth. You know, I'm the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. You have certain expectations of me, right? What if 3 out of 4 Sunday mornings during the month I didn't show up? Well, Brother Doug, it's your job show up. Yes, it is my job show up. What if 3 out of 4Sundays during the month I tell you, well, you know, I don't really have a message for you today. I didn't get to study like I needed to this week. What would you say? Brother Doug, you better straighten up. Get with it, man. We have expectations of you. And rightfully so, that you have expectations of me. But you know what? God has expectations of us all. Okay? And it's one thing if I disappoint you, but it is a whole different league when any of us disappoint our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whole different league. Do not forsake the assembly. How do you do it? By not doing what God has placed you here to do. Have you abandoned the church? Maybe you're one of those that, you know, I hear quite often, well, I used to go to church, but, you know, I got hurt. I hurt my feelings, and I'm not going back. Well, let's go back to loving, okay? Those people that hurt your feelings, love them anyway. Because what has happened is you have discovered that they're not perfect. You're not really surprised over that, are you? I mean, let's face it, we all have our problems. Love them anyway. Don't abandon the church. Maybe you're here and you just don't consider church. You know, church is a man-made organization. I've heard that. That's something man created. It has nothing to do with God. No, no. You read throughout the New Testament, it is a Jesus-created thing, okay? Quit making excuses. Well, why don't, you know, Brother Doug, you know, I don't have to be a member of the church to serve the Lord. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How do you know, Brother Doug? Well, why would you say that? Because throughout the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, specifically, unto Him be glory throughout all ages in the what? Church. Church. Is church important? Yes, sir, it is. Church is very, very important. What I want you to get from this message, number one, you are sitting in a position that to be very blessed, that you can approach the living God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't neglect it. You be faithful. Take advantage of it daily. Number two, hold fast the confession of your hope. Hold fast to your faith. Okay? Hold on. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. I don't know if I can do this anymore. Yes, you just hold on. You know what? If I'm hanging off a cliff, you know how long I'm going to hold on? As long as I possibly can. And if I'm hanging over a cliff, you know what you're going to... You're not going to say, hold on, Brother Doug. No, I'm holding. That's the last thing I can do. I'm holding. Hold on to the promises of God. As tough as it is, hold on. Don't let go. Then finally, let us not forsake God's church. I want to tell you something. I'm the most blessed pastor. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I forget it. But I'm blessed to be the pastor of Victory Baptist Church. I try not to take it for granted. I try not to forget how blessed I am. But sometimes it slips up on me. Do you have that problem? And I don't appreciate the blessings of God. I want to do everything I can do to promote the growth and well-being of this church. And as we close this message today and this series of messages on the church, I want to ask you to join me in that endeavor. That I want to faithfully serve the Lord here at Victory Baptist Church. I want to exercise my abilities, that God is my God-given abilities, and I want to do what God has placed me here to do. Okay? I want to ask you to join me in that. If you're here today and you're not a member, and I don't want to talk you into anything, but if you've been coming to Victory and you think, okay, this is where I need to be serving, I just put it off and I haven't moved my membership. Well, let's take care of that today. Take care of it today. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let's take care of that today. Why? Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. If you're here today, you've never been scripturally baptized, let's get you, let's get church approval to do that today. So we get things rolling in the right direction. My friends, it's a joy to be a member of the Lord's New Testament Church. Amen. Let's not take it for granted. Especially during this season that we celebrate our awesome Savior. If you are here today, and there's a move that you need to make, and you feel right now down in your heart, you feel, okay, I know I need to do it, but you need to do it. Don't put it off. Don't give excuses. Just do it. Let Jesus have His way. All right? Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for the privilege of looking into Your Word. And we rejoice, Lord, in being a part of Your church. Today, Lord, we know. So often we take things for granted. We fall short in our service. And Lord, sometimes we just half-heart things. Oh, Father, forgive us. We don't want to forsake this assembly. We want to fulfill our role here, the reason that You've placed us here. So keep us mindful of what a glorious blessing it is to be a part of Your church. And now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray for those who do not know You as their Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon You for salvation, knowing that You'll save them. I pray for those that have never followed You in scriptural baptism, that today will be the day they'll come forward and request that the church baptize them. I pray the day that, Lord, Your will be done in every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.